Let's look to Acts chapter 17, verse 31. If you have a Bible, you can turn there. It will be on the screen. Acts 17, 31. All right, let's read together. Because he has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he has given assurance unto all men, and that he raised him from the dead. Let's read that first part together. He has appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that your word will not return void, but it shall prosper in that which it is sent today. Lord, we declare that this is the place of freedom. Lord, if there be any bondage, we declare liberty now. If there be one that has distraction in his mind or her mind, Lord, we bring every thought into captivity, for the weapons of our warfare are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Be loosed in the name of Jesus. We pray, Lord, today that those that do not know you, those that have sin in their life, those that are backslidden, those that are away from you, let them be drawn to Jesus by the convicting power of the Holy Ghost now, we pray. And Lord, we're asking for the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation, that we may profit by the manifestation in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody shout. Now tell two or three people, I see great things coming your way. It's inevitable. Come on, tell two or three people. And then you may be seated, all right? Amen, amen. I see great things coming your way. It's inevitable. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, don't miss Wednesday night. I'm telling you, you need to bring somebody. And you might be surprised. You might have to tell somebody you'll take them to get a little ice cream or something. But do whatever it takes, because you won't regret. If they get saved, it'll be a great day in their life. And if they don't know much about Jesus, don't worry about it. The Holy Spirit will speak to their spirit. Amen. And you don't have to be the explainer of everything. And if you don't like it, just say, well, that's not our normal guy that preaches. Come back another time. That's all it is. Amen. How many understand that we've all heard of people say that was a divine appointment? We know of times when we came in contact with God, and we know that it was a divine appointment. We have a divine appointment. The day we got saved was a divine appointment. The day that we got filled with the Holy Ghost was a divine appointment. The day you were healed was a divine appointment. But I'm going to say today and this week may be your divine appointment, when you know you have come in contact with God. How many would like to have a divine appointment? Amen? But I'm going to talk to you a little bit about a different appointment today. And that day that I'm talking about, that divine appointment, will be a blessing to some, but to others, it will be a punishment to them. Now, I want to say, number one, that judgment is coming. Judgment is coming. And when I say that, I want to follow with a question. Are you ready? Are you ready? See, judgment is not a very popular theme. I sometimes will watch preaching on Sunday morning while I'm getting ready for church, and I have not seen too many people talk about judgment. It's not a real popular thing, and I think that it's because it is terrifying to those that are not ready. That judgment day is terrifying, and it's frightening to those that are hiding something. But how many understand the day of judgment to those that are truly saved will be a day that all evil will be completely done away with? It's a great day. But some don't talk about judgment because they have revised the Word of God. They have decided that we don't talk about things that make people uncomfortable, because that when you make people uncomfortable, that's not love. Well, I don't really agree with that at all. And I will say some have revised the Word of God to make themselves feel better, or even to make others feel better. But there are people that have tried to revise the Bible, and we have altered the truth. And those that have altered the truth and revised the Bible, we would call you a revisionist. And a revisionist is when we have a revised attitude toward a previous point of view. See, some of us grew up and we heard the Word of God preached one way, and now we go, well, I just don't believe it that way anymore. You are a revisionist. Now, to the revisionist I say, Revelation 22, 19, and if any man shall take away from the words of this book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. So to the revisionist, I'm going to say, you are not going to go to heaven. That's what that says. And I think that we all want you to go to heaven, and we all want to make it to that holy city, and we all want God to speak well about us, but we have got to stick with the Word of God. The Word of God is timeless. The Word of God is for all time. It endures forever. The Word of God is unstoppable. The Word of God is living. The Word of God will produce in the area that it is sent. The Word of God is powerful, and it is sharper than any two-edged sword. I thank God for the Word of God today. I cannot go by what I believe or what I want to believe or what I think. I must stick by what the Word of God says. There are people that go around and say, well, I don't really think Jesus would do that. I think Jesus doesn't need you representing him anymore. What does the Word of God say? I'm not going to add to what I don't know what Jesus would do. I don't know all the places he would go, but I do have the Word of God that is very clear, and I'm going to stick with it. Listen, number two, we all have an appointment. Some of you are late for church. Some of you are late for work. Sometimes we have been late for school, we have been late to the doctor, we have been late for appointments, and sometimes we have legitimate excuses. We have stuff happen like an accident on the highway, a flat tire, we had traffic, we had a bad hair day. Sometimes we just don't get up on time. But the appointment that we will all have, we will be all right on time. The appointment that you have with God, you will be right on time. Hebrews 9, 27. And it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. There is a judgment. And I believe, I want to read about that judgment in Revelation 20, verse 11 through 15. I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. Now look who was there. I saw the dead, the small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Revelation 20, verse 15. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now, maybe you don't think these verses are interesting, but they're a lot more interesting than Leviticus. Don't act like you're so holy. I read through my Bible and those get me a little tired, but I read about Revelation and I'm like, this is going to happen whether you like it or not. Now, that doesn't mean Leviticus isn't in the Bible. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Some just inspire me more than others. But he said in Revelation chapter 20 that the books, plural, will be opened. The books will be open. I'm going to say, are you ready again? Because judgment is coming and the books will be open. And one of those books is the book of life. Now, the book of life, I would say, would be like a sort of registry of citizenship in God's kingdom. Now, it would be maybe what we would call the book of the redeemed, those that are blood bought, those that have given their heart to Jesus, those that their sins have been washed away by the blood of the Lamb, that they were meant to go to hell. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That book of the redeemed will contain the names of a lot of folks, and we're all going to be included. And it says the dead will be there, the small and the great. Now, that means from one extreme to the other. Maybe you're rich or maybe you're poor. Maybe you're a celebrity or no one knows you're around. Maybe you are very popular, or maybe you're a loner, or maybe you are average or above average. You're a male, you're a female, you're from certain ethnicity. Every one of us will be there and the books will be open. It says all will be judged individually for their works. How many understand we're all going to give an account of ourselves before God? So today I ask you, are you ready for your judgment day? You say, I don't really understand what you're talking about, because there are people that they will not get ready for their judgment day because they're worried what their wife thinks. Or somebody's worried what their boss thinks, or somebody's worried what their family thinks, or a classmate, or what their pastor thinks, or what the evangelist thinks. It doesn't matter what I think, it matters what God thinks, because when you stand at the judgment day, you will not be judged by your peers, but you are going to be judged by God. So it doesn't matter what other people think. Now look, when I was growing up, I was very ornery. And I got in trouble a lot. I mean, I got busted with a board in school so much, you know. I should be on Jerry Springer for it today, you know. You know, you understand what I'm saying? I got in trouble because if you didn't give me enough work, I got in trouble. When I wasn't busy, I got in trouble. And that's why you still should stay busy. There was one guy had like 17 girlfriends. I was like, how do you have time? I don't even have time for my wife. I'm preaching better than your amen in here. The guy was married, had 17 girlfriends around the country. I was like, he's probably a politician. All right, whatever. I don't know why I said that. Okay. Man, that was the bad Doug coming out of me. All right. So here I am in school. I'm in trouble all the time. I did something bad, but there was four other guys with me. We all did it together. Now, it wasn't bad enough to go to jail bad. Okay, there's a difference. Bad enough to go to the principal's office, but not jail. So we get sent to the principal's office, and He just flat out goes down the line. Did you do it? The first guy says no. Second guy, did you do it? No. Third guy, no. Fourth guy, no. He comes to me and I said, yes, sir, I did it. Because I was taught in church that all liars have their place in the lake of fire. He said, what about these other guys? I said, every man must give an account of himself. He said, Doug, you know what I got to do? I said, yes, sir. He said, bend over and grab your ankles. I've bent over and grabbed my ankles so much growing up, I ought to have abs of steel today. He busted me a few times, and then he sent me on. But I'm going to tell you, the truth is, every one of us will give an account of ourselves before God. I cannot give an account for you, but I can give an account of myself. Now, all of us are going to be judged individually for our works, according to God's standards, not man's standards, not man's principles, but with God's principles and with consideration. He's going to consider our motives, and he's going to consider the opportunities that we had. The books are going to contain the evidence. And one thing about the books that God has, you may have evidence. You've seen television shows where somebody got off because somebody tampered with the evidence, somebody stole the evidence, somebody messed the evidence up. But I'm going to tell you, the evidence that God has, I'm going to tell you, it will contain all the evidence, and there'll be no messing with His evidence. Luke chapter 12, verse 47 and 48. And that servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. Listen. When you are at the judgment day, everybody doesn't get the same punishment. You say, what do I mean by that? Well, the duration will be the same. It will be the same for all. And the torment in the lake of fire is unquenchable, and it will last forever. But we have a just judge, and everybody will get what comes to them, how they have handled the gifts given to them, the opportunities given to them, and the responsibilities given to them. That is how we will be judged. The gift of salvation does not free us from the requirement of faithful obedience and service. Each one of us must serve Christ and live each day knowing that one day the books will be open. Revelation 3, verse 5. He that overcomes, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Now, with that being said, number 4, some names you expected in the book will not be there. When we are at the judgment day, I will tell you there's going to be some people you thought were going to be ready, but they will not be ready. They will not be ready. And there's going to be other people that they may have made it in at the last second, but I'm asking you, are you ready for the judgment day? Listen, it is quite possible to once be saved but be overcome by evil and your sinful nature and be blotted out of the Lamb's Book of Life. You say, I don't really like that kind of preaching. Well, I'm going to preach it straight today. The truth is, there are people that used to come to this church that were red hot on fire for God, and now they're no longer here. And not only are they not here, but they're nowhere to be found. They're not serving God anymore, and because they have had their name blotted out of the Lamb's Book of Life. Some have turned away from what they believed in Christ and their relationship with Him. When you personally become enslaved to sin and its lifestyle again, you're name is blotted out. Now, listen, at the judgment day, there will be a report given. A report will be given with a detailed description of your life and how it was spent. He's got a book. He's got a book. God now is taking notes and He's taking names. Now, think about this. I think about how big that book is, and He's writing names down, and there's a detailed report of our lives. But, you know, what if your life was a video? Would you want somebody to follow you around everywhere and everybody see what was going on in your life? Do you realize that God doesn't even need a book anymore? We've got social media. Most of us wouldn't even make it to heaven because of social media. Wow. We're all going to stand individually before our God. And listen, where you went to church, you can say, well, I went to church at Fountain of Life. And my family is such and such family. But those things are not going to work for you. They will work against you. Because He'll say, well, at Fountain of Life, you heard the preaching and you did not respond, so it's going to work against you. And if your family is serving the Lord and you're part of that family, and you say, well, I'm part of that family, well, why didn't you line up with the family? What we are when we stand before God is what we will be throughout all eternity. Not only what I did, but what I failed to do, what I was passive about, what I was unconcerned about, and what I failed to do, there will be consequences. Listen to me. The only thing you can take to heaven is your truth and not your excuses. It says at the judgment day, the living will be there. Those in the grave will be there. No one escapes. When he opens the books, it's going to be accountability time. And we will give an account for how we lived our life. We will give an account for how we responded to the Holy Spirit. We'll give an account for the times that we should have come to the altar and we did not. We'll give an account for the times that the altar and the plea was given and we did not respond, over and over again. So what I am saying, don't miss your opportunity today. You will give an account for your thoughts, your deeds, and your words. Every opportunity you had. I think about rejecting the Holy Spirit. What we are now is what we will be then. How many times have we rejected God speaking to our hearts? I don't think we need to say it won't be good on judgment day. Matthew 7:21 says, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. These are hard scriptures. You realize that I've been preaching the gospel, I think almost 37 years. And I'm going to tell you something. Some of these things that we read, that not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven. I think about that more now than I did 37 years ago. I think about verses like, the way to heaven is narrow, but broad is the way that leads to destruction. I think about those. And I read that other verse that says, if the righteous scarcely be saved, what shall be the end of them that know not the gospel? These are hard scriptures. But we need to take an account of this gospel. We're going to have to preach the full gospel. And if we're talking about judgment, we got to say that not everyone that cries, Lord, Lord, is he going to welcome in. He's going to say to some, I never knew you. Now listen, as a husband, as a father, I'm accountable to my wife and my children. What I did to lead them into the things of God. But the truth is, they have to accept Christ on their own. And they cannot use an excuse my husband, you know, whatever. She's going to have to understand. She's going to give an account of herself before God. And my children, they can say, well, my dad's gone a lot. But, you know, the truth is, they're going to give an account of themselves before God. But I have to give an account for, did I share the gospel with them? Did I present opportunities for them? Listen, I believe what I did about leading them into the things of God, I'm accountable for. I'm accountable to this generation. I can't just say, you know, I hate this generation, you know. I'm accountable. To my church, I'm accountable. But more importantly, I'm accountable to God. And listen, once you breathe your last breath, it's too late to change anything. Somebody say, well, that's obvious. Well, why do we live our life like it's not obvious? There are people that say, I need a preacher to validate my lifestyle. You want a church to validate your way of living. I will tell you, they are available in this day. There are people that have changed the Word of God from what it really says. The reality is, if your heart were to stop beating, what you are is what you will be throughout all eternity. If you have resisted the move of God, I would be very concerned. If you believe you can do everything your way, I would be concerned. If you have revised the Word of God to fit into society, I would be concerned. Nobody's going to tell you anything. I would be concerned if I were you. Remember Jesus, he cried, because of your rejection, you will be destroyed. Look with me to Luke 19. Verse 41 through 44, and when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it. He said, if thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. For the days shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee, encompass thee round, and keep thee in on every side, and shall lay thee even with the ground and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave thee one stone upon another. Look at this last part. Because thou knewest not the time or the day of thy visitation. What are you going to do when you stand before God at the judgment day? Say, well, I didn't really know. To whom much is given, much is required. I really didn't know. There will be a day when you stand before God and your attitude right now, if it does not change, will put you in a perilous situation. See, if you can sit in a Holy Ghost church and never be moved, I'd be concerned. If you got sin in your life and you just think, well, everybody must have a little bit, I'm going to keep living this way, I'd be concerned. See, some people just think, I can do whatever I want to do. How many know people do really what they want to do? If you want to come to church, you'll come to church. If you don't want to come to church, you won't come to church. If you want to come to revival, you'll come to revival. If you don't want to come to revival, you probably won't come to revival. But the Word of God says in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves, pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, then I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. I was about ready to say there's a storm coming, but the storm's already here. In Oklahoma, well, I've read a little bit on Facebook. You guys have been having storms, and you don't even know what happens till you hear the siren. Oh, there's a tornado. Okay, for years we lived in Oklahoma without a storm cellar, okay, or a storm shelter. And I was always gone, so it didn't really matter to me that much, but I do want Lori and the girls to live, okay? But our neighbors had a storm cellar. But our neighbors are you know, typically like rednecks. You know, when there's a storm, we go out and watch until it takes our trailer house away. Okay? So our neighbors never would go to their storm cellar. Well, one time the storm thing's going off, you know, and Lori's telling me this later. She's relaying it to me. She said, you know, it went off, and I'm calling Jackie and Billy, our neighbors. Can we come into the storm cellar? They said, it's too late. You better get in the tub. So her and Lily got in the tub, you know, in the middle bathroom, and Lori's laying on top of Lily. Lily's bigger than her mom, you know, but I just picture this. And Lori, all she can think of, just sing. She starts singing, yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus. I'm like, of all the songs to sing, but she remembered it. Now, what am I telling you? How many know when the storm gets there, it's too late? Judgment day comes, it's too late. There's a crisis in the world today, and there's only one hope that you, I, and America have. It is to get on our knees and cry out to an almighty God, bring us revival again. I'm going to say it again. I will give an account. You will give an account. And we will stand before God, the just judge. It is possible in America to maybe have a judge that you don't like. Some of them get voted in. You didn't vote on him. Some of them you don't like. Some of them you're mad. But the truth is, God is a just judge. Are you ready? We're facing perilous times. Everything that you read out of 2 Timothy 3, in the last days, perilous times shall come. And it goes on a big list. Every one of those things are happening in these days. And our attitude during these perilous times is being recorded. And I'm asking you today, does anybody really in this church want to have revival? Are you listening? Listen, lift up your hand and say, send revival if you want a revival. Ezekiel chapter 3. You say, why am I preaching like this? I'll tell you why right here. Verse 18 and 19. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him no warning, nor speaks to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life. The same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. But his blood I will require at your hand. Yet if you warn the wicked and he turns not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul. Wow. This is why I preach about the judgment day. This is why on Wednesday I'm going to talk about hell, because I do not want the blood of any person that hears me preach to be on my hands and say, well, they didn't give me an opportunity. They didn't give me a chance. I did not know. The truth is, I'm telling you something because I want you to hear. But it's up to you how you respond. To Ezekiel, he said, blood will be on your hands. See, too many people in America are looking for our government to solve the problems, our president to solve the problems. But I'm going to tell you, now is the time. You are the people, and this is the place. Amen. Do not expect the next time you come to church that the Spirit of God's going to move stronger. I'm telling you, if you're sitting there, I'm going to respond someday when the Spirit draws me stronger. I'm going to tell you, it will probably get less and less. The more you resist, the more easy it becomes to resist, and the more likely that you're not going to hear God move again. Genesis 6:3 says, my spirit shall not always strive with man. What does that mean? I believe that right now is the day of grace. This is the day of grace, that if you are here and not right with God, you've got sin in your life, you're in a backslidden condition, this is the day of grace. But I am going to say, as in the days of Noah, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. This verse right here was told to Noah right before the flood came and took everyone away. He said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. We are living in a day when God is dealing with people's hearts, but there'll come a day, perhaps shortly, that he will not be dealing with you in the way that he is right now. What I'm saying is, if you're not right with God, get right with him today. Revelation 22, verse 11 and 12. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He that is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly. My reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. Verse 14 and 15 of Revelation 22. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into that city. For without are dogs, sorcerers, and whoremongers, and murderers, and idolaters, and whosoever loves and makes a lie. Now, look at that verse. A lot of people say, man, you know, it's only by grace you get to heaven. There's no works involved at all. He said you got to do his commandments. Well, you know, I watched Congress as they had a guy named Michael Cohen. They were interviewing him. They were really asking him questions. And Michael Cohen, here's what he said when he was interviewed by Congress. He said, I have lied, but I'm not a liar. I watched that and I went, what? He said, I've done bad things, but I'm not a bad man. If you do sorcery, you're a sorcerer. Whoremonger, you say, I don't even know what that is. Well, a monger is one that sells, so if you sell, that would make you a pimp. The only thing I want pimped is my ride. Some of you will get that later, all right. But a whoremonger, that includes pretty much every sexual immorality you can name. Not just the pimp. It includes it all. So if you do those things, there you are. If you kill somebody, you're a murderer. You put anything in front of God, you're an idolater. And if you love and make a lie, you are a liar. But Michael Cohen said, I've lied, but I'm not a liar. You know how you can tell when a politician's lying, don't you? When their lips are moving. He then goes on to say, I've done bad things, but I'm not a bad man. When I saw that, I just went, what? I got that look, you know that. What in the world? But that's how we are in America. Well, I've done a lot. I did not have sex with that woman. Whatever. Okay? Somewhere we have changed. What you do is what you are. Okay, let me make scripture out of it. By your fruit you are known. Can I get a better amen in here? According to this scripture, it doesn't matter what you think. If you're a liar or not, if you lie, you're in trouble. If you commit these other things, you're in trouble. But 1 John 3:7, I'm closing. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that does righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. Wow. I heard some preachers one day, they're all talking and saying, oh, nothing but the blood and the cross and all these things. And you can't, you know, they were talking about, I did all these bad things, but I was still saved. And I thought, you know, I'm listening and I just keep listening. And as soon as I just turned it off, it was grieving my spirit. And when I turned it off, this scripture right here, I didn't have it memorized, but it pops up. How many know? Thy word have I hid in thy heart that I might not sin against thee. This word pops up. Little children, let no man deceive you. I don't care if they're on television. I don't care what they got behind their name, in front of their name. I don't care how popular they are. Let no man deceive you. He that does righteousness is righteous even as he is righteous. You don't get to heaven by your works, but I'm going to tell you, you'll be judged by them. I'm preaching better than your amen in here. Are you ready for the judgment day? Because there's a judgment, I need to be ready. Because there's a judgment, I need to be 100% confident and sure that I'm ready, that I'm right with God. 100%. See, a lot of people that will tell me, well, I'm pretty sure that I'm ready for the judgment day. I've had people say, I'm 98 or 99% sure. But I say, if you're only 98 or 99% sure, you're 100% lost. 1 John 5:13 says you can know you have eternal life. Romans chapter 8 says you can know you're a child of God. And Luke chapter 10 says you can know that your name is written in heaven. Are you ready in this place today? Stand with me all over this building. Stay with me. We're going to dismiss together in a moment. Are you ready? I preach this today because there's going to be a judgment day and we all need to be ready. Are you ready? Are you 100%? Not 98 or 98.9%, just 100%. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. Look, if you've got sin in your life, you've got sin in your life, you are not ready for the judgment day. If your relationship with the Lord is not up to date, you're not ready for the judgment day. If you've got disobedience in your life, you're not ready for the judgment day. But I'm going to ask a little backwards today, so pay close attention. If this was the judgment day, how many here would say, preacher, I'm 100% ready beyond a shadow of a doubt. If that's you, would you lift up your hand in the air and leave it up for a moment? If you're not sure, don't raise your hand. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. It's not between me and you and everybody. It's between me, you, and God. All right? You can put your hands down if you know. And what I saw, I'm going to tell you, God already knows. He's got the book. He's keeping record. You might be able to slide it by your husband. You might be able to slide it by your wife. You might be able to slide it by your coworkers. You might be able to slide it by your family, the preacher, the pastor, the evangelist, but you're never going to slide it by God. He's keeping a perfect record. I'm asking today, all over this building, I saw a lot of hands raised saying, I'm 100% sure I'm ready for the judgment day, but I also saw a lot of hands that were not raised. I'm not asking why you're not 100% sure. I'm not asking anything that you've got hidden to expose it today. But I'm asking if you couldn't raise your hand for whatever reason. I'm asking you to have some guts and courage. It'd be good to have some guts and courage today than wait till it's too late. Jesus said, if you are ashamed of me, I will be ashamed of you. He said, if you deny me, I will deny you. But his words of mercy was this. He that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. Those are mercy words right there. All over this building, if you could not raise your hand for whatever reason, we're not waiting on anything but you. If you couldn't raise your hand and you need a fresh start, a new beginning, you're not sure you're ready to meet God and you want prayer today, you want a fresh start, a new beginning, would you get some guts and step out of your seat and come stand here facing me right now? Come on, sir. Come on, young man. Come on. Would you come right now? All over this building. You say, what would my family think? It doesn't matter what they think. You come right now. Come on. People are coming. Come right here in the middle. Get close to me and face me. Come on. All over. In the back. In the side. Over here in the middle. You say, well, you know, what are people going to think? It does not matter what they think. I'm living this life for God. I'm not living it for you. I'm not living it for the pastor. I'm not living it for my family, really. I'm living for God. I want him to say, well done. How many others would come? Come on, quickly. Come on. Thank you for coming. Come on. You say, well, I'm in the middle of the row. Come on. People will be happy to let you out. Just touch them and they'll move out of the way. Come on, quickly. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father God, we thank you. Come on, is there anybody else? I'm waiting just 20 more seconds. Come on, God, deal with hearts. Some of you begin to pray right now. Come on. It's better to come today than miss out and have a bad judgment. Because there's no appeal. There's no higher court than you can go to but God. Come on, down to 10 seconds. Is there anybody else? Come on. God's dealing with your heart. You're not sure that you're ready for judgment day. I need a fresh start, a new beginning. Preacher, would you come? I honor you for having courage to come. We're down to 5 seconds. Is there anybody else? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Thank you for coming. Come on. Anyone else? Lord, have mercy in the name of Jesus. Come on, come on, come on. Come on, we're waiting right here. We're waiting right here. Somebody is saying right now, I'm going to go home and pray. Well, that's the devil's lie to get you out of this atmosphere of freedom. Come on. Come on. Stand here with us. Thank you for coming. Come on, brother. Anybody has a problem standing, you can sit on the front row, but I want you to come. Come on. Lord Jesus, have mercy. Now listen to me. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I need about 25 people that'll come and stand behind somebody. At Judgment Day, they'll be by themselves, but today, somebody from the family of God can be with them. I want you to come. You'll help me pray in a minute. Don't do anything yet. Just come stand behind somebody. Come on. You're going to help me in a moment, but just come. I need about 25 people that'll help me pray right here. Don't do anything yet. We're going to pray together, but I got about 4 more people right here in the middle, 5 people. I got 2 right here, about 4 right here. You say, I don't know the person I'm praying for. Well, it won't matter. In heaven, there's going to be a lot of people you don't know either. But they're going to be part of your family very soon. I want you to do something with me. I want you, everyone, to lift up both hands if you're physically able. Everybody in this building. You say, I don't really lift my hands. It's just a sign of surrender to God. Come on, it's better today. I give you my life, Lord. That's what you're saying by lifting your hands right now. But I want everybody in this building from front to back, side to side. I want everybody in this building to pray with me right now and repeat after me, but believe it in your heart. Say this with me now. Dear God in heaven, I know one day I'll stand before you. There will be a judgment day, and I want to be ready. I ask Jesus Christ to come into my heart. I need a fresh start. I need a new beginning. I don't want to ever be the same. I know that Jesus Christ died on the cross for me. He shed His blood for me. And that blood is cleansing me from every sin. I repent of my past. I have a change of heart, a change of mind, a change of direction. I'm never going to be the same. I believe that Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. And I boldly confess that Jesus Christ is my Lord. I will serve you, Jesus, all the days of my life. I'm going to make the most of my time. I'm available to you. I'm saved, and I'm ready. Come on, just lift up your hands right now. If you're standing behind somebody, reach up and pray for them right now. I want you to touch them right now in the name of Jesus. Come on, everybody in this building, stretch out your hand toward the front here in the name of the Lord Jesus. We declare there's liberty in the name of Jesus. We come against all the power of the enemy now. Be loosed in the name of Jesus. We declare today is a new day. There is now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus that walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. We declare the Spirit of the Lord brings liberty now. Receive in the name of Jesus. Receive in the name of Jesus. Loose in the name of the Lord. Receive in Jesus' name. Power of God flow now in the name of Jesus. Every bondage broke in the name of Jesus. Lord, your power, your anointing in the name of Jesus. No weapon against us shall prosper in the name. Lord, we declare the Spirit of the Lord brings liberty now, liberty. Be whole in Jesus' name. Be whole in Jesus' name. Be whole. Come on, young lady, God wants to bless you great today. Receive in the name of Jesus. Come on, in the name of the Lord, we loose the power of God right now. Come on, every enemy that's been against you. Right now, the Spirit of the Lord is raising up a standard against them. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Come on, all over this building, lift up your hands and praise Him for a moment, if you will. Lord, we glorify You. We magnify You. We exalt Your name. Thank You, Jesus. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, lift up your hands and just thank Him for His salvation. Thank Him for His grace and mercy. Thank Him for the cross of Calvary. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now everybody look at me just for a moment. From this day forward, I want to live my life with respect to Judgment Day. Not only do I want to say He's in my heart, but I want to show by my works. He that does righteousness is righteous. What are some righteous things? Praying's righteous. Reading your Bible's righteous. Coming to the house of God, righteous. But there's some things I got to say no to, and I believe the Lord's going to help you. But we're going to live with our life and think, you know, know what? I'm going to stand before God one day, so I'm not going that direction anymore. How do you respond to revival this week? It'll matter on Judgment Day, how you respond to the Word. How many in this building have family and friends that are not saved? That's pretty much all of us. If you don't, you live in a cave somewhere and you don't have any friends. But I got friends and family that are not saved. I want to challenge you this week. Invite five people. Whether it's by social media, a phone call, a text, or in person, we got five people that we need to talk to. In the month earlier this year, I think it was the month of March or April, I challenged people to think of their neighbors and pray for their family and invite people. While I was praying, I thought about a cousin that I haven't seen since I was 12 years old. I prayed for her. We're friends on Facebook, but I haven't seen her since I was 12. They're on the rowdy side of our family, you know. I haven't seen them in a long time. I prayed that she'd open her heart to the Lord and open her heart to the things of God. And that very week, you say, coincidence. How many know coincidences usually stop happening when you stop praying? She sent me a message and said, I don't know, but I've never read a Bible. She's in her 50s. She said, I started reading my Bible this week. I got a Bible and started reading it. She said, I had to go buy one. She said, but I don't know how to pray. Do you have a book that tells you how to pray? And I said, well, you know, I can tell you how to pray. Just talk to God like you talk to anybody that's your friend. But I sent her a book and sent her another Bible. It's a start. But had I not prayed, had I not done something, I want us all right now to maybe five people that we're thinking about. If you can't think of five, you can think of one, I'm sure. Come on, I want you to call their name out right now. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we call in the lost from the north and the south and the east and the west. Cousins and aunts and nephews and nieces, uncles and Lord, our neighbors and our friends and our co-workers and classmates. We call them in. It's your will that none should perish. Lord, send us as laborers into the harvest field. Lord, let something break loose in the name of Jesus. We give you glory and honor in Jesus' name.
Thank you guys for watching or listening online today. I pray this service was a great blessing to you. You know, the greatest question you'll ever be asked in your life is, are you ready to meet the Lord? Are you serving the Lord with all of your heart? You know, my main goal in preaching, my main goal in providing these online services is to see people accept Christ and come to a vibrant relationship with God. So right now, if you've never accepted Him into your heart, why don't you pray this prayer with me and ask Him in? It's that simple. You just say, Lord, come into my life. Be the Lord of my life. And God will make a dramatic change in your heart. And let's pray this right now. If you are ready to accept the Lord into your heart, you want to ask Him in, just pray this prayer with me right now. Father, in Jesus' name, come into my life. Come into my heart. Be the Lord of my life. I give you all of my sin, all of my past, and I pray you wash it away and make something beautiful of my life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. If you said that prayer, I believe God has come into your life and has done something amazing in your heart. Continue to follow us online. We would love to continue to be a blessing to you and your family.